Podbean, your message amplified.
Ready to share your message with the world? Start your podcast journey with Podbean.
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 Podbean. The AI-powered all-in-one podcast platform.
Thousands of businesses and enterprises trust Podbean to launch their podcasts.
Launch your podcast on Podbean today.
My school uses Podbean.
My church, too.
I love it. I really do.
This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
Hi, everyone here and around the world. There has been exciting news from a UK Cambridge astrophysicist who has discovered what he calls, quote, the best ever signs of life on another star system. And it's the first time humanity has seen potential biosignatures on a habitable planet, close quote. Professor Nicu Madhusudan is talking about biosignatures that we associate with algae on Earth. The planet is called K2-18b, which is 124 light years from Earth and nearly three times the size of Earth. It was first discovered in 2015 by NASA's Kepler mission. And now, 10 years later, with the incredible James Webb Space Telescope, two biosignature gases have been discovered in the big planet's atmosphere. They are dimethyl sulfide, or DMS, and dimethyl disulfide, or DMDS. On Earth, those two gases are linked primarily to microbial life, such as marine phytoplankton that we also know as algae that grows in water. Astrophysicist Madhusudan says the presence of both gases, quote, suggests the planet may be teeming with microbial life, close quote. And then in news back on Earth in the past few weeks, I have received a couple of confidential military aerospace reports about eyewitness encounters deep underground inside some medical facilities on military bases where non-human ETs are allegedly working with humanoid Homo sapien. On January 8th, this new year of 2025, I received this email from a retired U.S. Army combat medic specialist now living in the Southeast United States. Quote, my name is Kenneth, not real, but that's what he chose. I am in urgent need of assistance. I have been sitting on what I believe may be important information. Something deep inside is telling me it's an important part of a larger puzzle. I feel silly by saying this, but anyway, here we go. This info was obtained, I believe, through remote sensing. The rest is logical deduction concerning a multitude of things that I believe to be in your field of study, meaning UFOs. I've got to share this with someone who can act on it, or it will be on my conscience until I die. There is too much to put in a message, but below are some of the topics that I have information on. Quote, unknown military base descriptions and numbers involved, locations described, shadowing and possible future events. In addition, I believe I am experiencing something I can only describe as a personal attack in my dreams as of late. Something has changed or accelerated, close quote. Kenneth sent me a copy of his DD-214 that shows he entered the U.S. Army on January 9, 1992, and 5 years later left the Army service on November 11, 1997. His permanent duty station was Fort Lewis, Washington State, in the Northwest.
I was a very curious soldier. And when you work in a hospital that's been brand new and built, and I was kind of raised around hospitals because my father was a manager of radiology and nuclear medicine in North Carolina. So we were always in and out of the hospital, his work. And I'm always fascinated with the hospital. So I took it upon myself to explore. Now, what I found curious was the lower levels of the hospital, lots of doors, but no signs. These doors all required card readers. And everyone in Madigan Medical Center is issued a ID card that you scan.
What city and state is this?
This is at Fort Lewis, Washington, Tacoma, Washington, at Madigan Army Medical Center. Like I said, I took it upon myself to explore. I started noticing one or two people, and this happened, I would say, twice. The first night, I encountered a female soldier. The problem was that this person didn't have any rank, and they were in full battle dress uniform, BDUs, or camouflage, whatever you want to call it. And when I asked her a question, she just stared at me blankly. The first thing I noticed when I got near the individual is I felt that feeling like whenever you enter a room that's got a lot of people in it that are either angry or upset, it's like being sent to the principal's office, like feeling. You're spooked, I guess is a better term. And I had to ask the question twice, are you looking for something? The second time, I just got a straight no, and the person just turned around and walked off. I also can tell you that their face wasn't quite, I want to say that her eyes were too far apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second night, I encountered, I want to say, a male. Again, in a different part of the hospital, but in the lower parts of the hospital, no rank, no insignia. It was like he just took somebody that needed clothing and just threw on BDUs so they wouldn't be walking around in something inappropriate. And when I tried to speak to this person, they just ignored me and walked past me. And it was the same situation. When I walked by them, my gut was telling me something wasn't right. Again, this person, who I couldn't tell, to be honest, if they were male or female, eyes were far further apart than what I was used to. I just felt uncomfortable, and it just didn't feel right. And those were the two down inside the hospital experiences that I had that made me wonder if this was one of those situations where we had visitors who just needed clothing and were walking from one place to the other down in the basement.
But why would your mind and gut go to extraterrestrial?
It goes there now because I have dreams. I want to say they happen when I'm asleep. Sometimes there's this scary feeling, malevolence, and it was identical to that feeling that I got when I passed those two in the hallway. So it made me wonder if that's what that was, because in those dreams that I've had, and there's something in addition that happens now, I get what I call a painful static in the direction I'm looking at, like electrical sparks shoot into my eyes or into my mind's eye with this feeling to look away. Don't look there. I'm not supposed to look there.
The implication that you are drawing that the lower hospital rooms were not part of the military base on the ground, but was a base for something else below the military base, for extraterrestrials.
Given the fact that it was a hospital, all the latest advancements that the Army had. That Army Medical Center is like one of those grand gems, or it was when I was in as a medic. They had all the latest advances, the newest MRIs.
But you never had any kind of a briefing by a superior officer about extraterrestrials under this Army base?
No, but I did get talked down for being down there. I was told never to go down there again. I just took that as me overstepping my bounds. But then again, if my card reader worked, I didn't understand why. You know, because I'd go anywhere my card reader would go.
I ask Alan and Ian in England to stand by for an earlier transition to all of you in the chat, because I would like to know if any of you listening tonight, in or out of the different subjects that we're talking about, but if you can go into the Earth Files YouTube channel and look at the program and pick out sections that you might have some resonance or experience with, and the audience tonight, that if you've ever served in a military base where a large advanced hospital is known to be underground, that military base, meaning under the foundation and down, where only a small number of people have security clearances and or ID cards to enter, I would really hope to hear from those of you in the chat tonight who might also have information about perhaps the same or similar military medical facilities that are used to cover for ET-related activities. I have heard facets of this issue for two or three decades, and I assume that it does happen. And the question is, do any of you have firsthand experience that you can share with me and I can share further? Now, tonight, we are blessed always to have Ian here, and Ian has some prepared information that will involve trying to communicate with you guys who want to reach me on the video we just saw. And Ian has a workup on some, what I think will be some great, not revelations, but an evolution of upcoming events between now and June. Ian, welcome to Earth Files.
Yes, thank you, Linda. That was a fascinating report that you've just brought us, and we'll go back to our audience and see if anyone else can add to that or have any questions. But first of all, I want to start off with the announcement of your speaking engagements at Contact in the Desert at Indian Wells, California, from May 29th to June the 2nd. And we'll be promoting this and posting the links below the video and on the program and in our chat, and at every other social media opportunity we have. So it's a good opportunity for people to come in and meet. And I'll be there, of course, and people can meet us and come up and talk with us and watch your presentations on the latest in the updates as we go forwards. So I want to bring you some other news as well, which this comes from Danny Sheehan and Steve Bassett, who again are both working hard for disclosure, and they'll both be present at Contact in the Desert. Meanwhile, back in Washington, Representative Anna Polona Luna, the chair of the Task Force on Declassification of Federal Secrets, has just released the long-anticipated UAP investigation timeline on the schedule of classified briefings, roundtable discussions, and a full public hearing set to unfold in the coming weeks. Momentum is building fast on Capitol Hill. This is a significant step forward for congressional UAP oversight. Anna Polona Luna, Florida, has released the following official timeline, and I think we're going to be posting that timeline, which shows these dates that are upcoming. So this is according to a recent post on X. The UAP investigative process will move forward with the following key targets. April 29th, a classified SCIF, that's a sensitive compartment expected information facility briefing will take place, allowing members of Congress to meet directly with UAP experts and receive secure updates on the phenomena. Then we've got May the 1st. Following the SCIF meeting, the task force will sponsor a briefing for congressional staff by the UAP Disclosure Fund titled Understanding UAP Science, National Security and Innovation. But I think the big news on all of this is that the week of May the 12th, this is a note for everyone to put in a diary and on the calendars, because the process will culminate in a public hearing on UFOs, UAP, before the full House Oversight Committee. This hearing will bring the UAP discussion directly to the American people and mark a new stage in the fight for government transparency. So we're hoping that's going to be another one of these live streamed events, and we should all stay tuned and see what is going to be happening in these next coming weeks.
Ian, thank you for that rundown. And I am so happy that the congressional hearing isn't going to be put off and off and off and off again. I think that Congresswoman Luna is going to have some surprises, and that hopefully at Earth Files that I will be able to also contribute through a couple of the whistleblowers I know who would like to communicate something more in tandem with this summer, in which, if they had not gotten the hearings going again, some people were feeling like they were going to try to blow off everything. And right now, doesn't it feel, Ian, like that just because Congresswoman Luna and others, that they are going to go forward, and that perhaps revealing it, even if it's piece by piece at a congressional hearing, is so much better than reality being classified?
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that we've been watching and monitoring closely has been these constant reports that we were getting from right up to the, let's say, the end of last year, with the so-called mysterious drones, and especially the activity that was reported over New Jersey. Well, a new press release out today from the House Oversight Committee says that Timmons is to hold hearing on unauthorized drone activity over U.S. military installations. And that's the Subcommittee on Military and Foreign Affairs Chairman William Timmons today announced a hearing on securing the skies addressing unauthorized drone activity over U.S. military installations. So that's another one to watch for. And again, you can reach this link. I'll post the link in the chat, and we'll probably try and post it underneath this video. But the good news about this is Tuesday, April 29th, 2025, and you can actually watch the live streaming event. There's a link to that at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday, April the 29th. And this is with witnesses Rear Admiral Paul Spadaro, Junior Vice Director for Operations, Joint Chiefs of Staff, etc., with other people as well who are, let's say, from the Federal Aviation Administration and the U.S. Department of Defense. This is where we're going to be addressing the disconnect that seems to exist, whereby we have the White House announcement saying that the Federal Aviation Administration had authorized drone activity. That was the announcement from the White House, and the Pentagon saying they know nothing about it. So it'd be interesting to see these two players talking to each other and bringing this forward in front of Congress to hear what they've got to say.
Well, and it supports what I've always thought is one of the great ironies, is that often intelligence will say that they either don't have any answer while they're working with the ETs that are responsible for a phenomena, which is a cover-up, and that the government has been doing that for a long time, or it is totally unknown for real, and they really don't know. Well, they use the same defense counter, which is tell the public that they are investigating and that it probably is somebody coming from Europe, and they can use that material to cover whether they're going to open or close. Meanwhile, there is, without question, we have something that is interacting with the Earth that people who work in large aerospace have said to me that we are at one of those active nodes that come and go on the Earth with other intelligences, and this is another one, and anything could happen. So going forward, I think it would be great if you stay on top of what is happening on the drone aspect in everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something we should not forget. We shouldn't just write it off.
Yeah.
As the official White House statement earlier this year in the first few days of this new administration, which did say that this was authorized and this was the answer that we were looking for, because obviously there's more to it, and thank goodness that other people are following this as well, and we'll see what plays out as we go forward. We'll keep our audience updated as we go forwards as well, and we're in contact with Danny Sheehan and Steve Bassett and other members of the Paradigm Research Group and Research Institute. Tonight's episode that we started off with, featuring these, obviously some sort of liaison going on with people who look not quite human, eyes slightly separate or slightly different. This is an important part because this again points to some sort of
collaboration
liaison.
Liaison.
Do you remember Terry Lovelace? When we've met up with Terry Lovelace and we've seen his book Incident at Devil's Den, we know Terry Lovelace very well.
Yeah.
He reported seeing that there were these people in military uniforms on board the Triangular craft that he and Toby were taken aboard. And
yes,
also Whitley Strieber has spoken. The time that he got his implant, he said there were people in fatigues standing there. So this again, the ETs, or let's say people not quite human, wearing fatigues, sometimes without any insignia or anything else to identify which part of the military or what branch they're from or what their rank is, but seen as players in this scenario, and particularly in some kind of hospital scenarios.
Right.
Tonight in the chat, Mouse SF says, I have to be discreet, but I have a friend who works at a national science laboratory who has confirmed to me direct contact with extraterrestrials. They were not a believer and were quite disturbed by this.
Which
so
type?
This is SF.
Ian, yeah, which
Mouse
type?
SF. Please tell us which type. We always say
it's very important, which type. And
yeah,
I can
let us know which it extraterrestrials.
Yeah, and just briefly insert, I can add that I have now heard from three different ranch owners, and they are anticipating that the mood, the physical, everything in their herds, that they are expecting that there will be the bloodless animal mutilations this spring to summer. And one of the people that I talked to just in the last 3 days has already, from what he's saying to me, has identified on the ground in a pasture, in a state that I will eventually, if it evolves and we are going to try to do veterinarian work, I would report where. Right now, it's better just to say that he's describing the same excisions, the same bloodlessness now that it is current. If anybody listening in any country, anywhere, has information because you are a rancher or it has been reported that involves the removal of an ear, eye, tongue, jaw, genitals, and rectal tissue cored out generally, with no tracks around the body, that's the classic animal mutilation. It includes kangaroos in Australia.
Podbean, your message amplified.
Ready to share your message with the world? Start your podcast journey with Podbean.
Podbean, the AI-powered all-in-one podcast platform.
thousands of businesses and enterprises trust Podbean to launch their podcasts.
Use Podbean to record your podcast.
Use Podbean AI to optimize your podcast.
Use Podbean AI to turn your blog into a podcast.
Use Podbean to distribute your podcast everywhere.
Launch your podcast on Podbean today.
Let me know, not with the idea of that we're proving with you getting in touch with me. It's that it helps me do maps. I've always done maps. And then you begin to see where there's activity that's going on that's not being reported. And those are the places I've always tried to go to in investigating animal mutilations. And if we are in one of those years, 2025, that is pivotal for a lot of big changes all over the place, then the return of bloodless, trackless animal mutilations may be part of what we're going to experience. And I think that Whitley Strieber is right in his investigation, picking up on the work that I did with veterinarians and pathologists about the missing organs and always the blood taken. And that Whitley and I did a show about 4 or 5 months ago in which he has come to the hypothesis that one of the reasons that some of the animals that are targeted are the ones that are targeted, cattle being probably at the top of the list, is because the copper that is in the hemoglobin of certain strains, bovine and others, is different from the copper that they might have been left with if they didn't have these animals. And I think it's fascinating because we're dealing with, clearly, biological beings, but we're dealing also with artificial intelligence that works for the biological beings. And until we get honesty on this planet about everything that's going on with the universe and with other intelligences, we can hypothesize. And the hypothesis is, and it was part of my work back in 79 to 84, same exact hypothesis, just coming in with from different angles. And that is, the animal mutilations on Earth by non-humans with a lot of involvement by the Greys is for sustenance, number one, sustenance for them. Number two, the harvest of sperm and eggs for genetic manipulation, and that the genetic manipulation may be one of the keys to the non-humans trying to survive. Now, with that as a kind of context in which I'm very much aware that there may be more mutilations, and I know some people have a hard time with it, but it's part of this interaction with other beings. So, Ian, I'm going to throw this back to you to see if you have some fresh remarks for tonight about the concept of a military base being an excellent place to place a basement in which you worked with and collaborated with ETs. Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
I can now. We always have problems with Ian's, we call it the grapefruit.
Grapefruit, no, that's better.
And sometimes it works and sometimes we have problems.
Yeah. Okay, we're reconnected now, that's good. I'm looking at the live chat at the moment, and I'm seeing if we've got any more information from our source that we started off with about which type of ETs are interacting at the National Laboratory with this liaison with extraterrestrials. So I'll bring you an update on that. Renee Cruz is in the live chat tonight. She's a regular contributor, and it's good to see you here. She says that she saw on Friday the 30th of December 2024 four illuminated plasma Dubi joint-shaped UFOs outside her hospital window, two big UFOs the size of buildings, and two jet fighter size, after I suffered missing time and a broken shoulder and arm. She's going to give us more information on this and contact us. She says she's had a nerve test done on her right shoulder and arm, waiting for a doctor to tell me the get-go on surgery. But she says she's going to email us or contact us about her latest extraterrestrial alien encounter. That's quite significant, particularly if this shoulder injury was as a result of some sort of missing time episode when something happened.
Ian, do you have any information about, again, the shape, the color, the lights, no lights? What is this category of this craft?
Yeah, all she's given us is the description of the size of it outside of her hospital window. And that's very interesting that, again, it's in a medical scenario. So, yeah. Rene, please give us more information. And yeah. Also, I want to put out our email address here for people, earthfiles@earthfiles.com, and I'm directed ian@earthfiles.com. So please contact us.
If you can please put phone numbers in your emails or your texts, it would save me. I have to wait and go through the processes to wait for phone numbers. And it would be so great. I know that some people can't, and I totally understand. I am trying myself to have influence on a world where I wish everything was open and free and we could discuss about the implications. So I understand why some people are not comfortable giving their phone number in email. But if you want to have a dialogue, it's much faster if you enclose a phone number. I never, ever, ever share any contact information with anybody. And the reason I feel tonight that we needed to talk about all this is that I think that there is a sense of world order that is changing on the playing board very rapidly. And it is those kinds of conditions historically where there have been the, like in World War II, the emergence of not only lights, not only drones, but a variety of beings who are here for their whatever self-serving reasons they are. And the more on our side, where we know we are always trying to tell you the truth, then the better I can follow up with some people that I know who are trying to tell the truth. So starting from where you are right now and reaching through the airwaves in a text or a email, something that talks about what your relationship is to it and a phone number, and it would help me get the churning on communicating with a lot of you. And then I always ask if you are interested in having a recorded interview about a subject that we can put on the Earth Files YouTube channel. I have always, for 45 years, said to people, if you want to remain anonymous, we can affect the frequencies of your voice in recording, and I have done that many times. But the best of all is to know that we are in some kind of a historical revolution. And I'm hoping that we're not going to oligarchs taking over the planet, but that we are going to evolve into a planet in which creatures that at some levels are incredibly wonderful, humans. And we are put into such weird, raw, twisted conditions that it's difficult for the beautiful goodness to survive and live. I would love it if we could get into a planet where everybody was motivated by things positive. Down with the black side of yin and yang. Okay, Ian.
Yeah,
Yeah, go ahead.
Chris George Alexander makes a good point in the chat this evening, says the bipartisan nature of the congressional explanation is just so remarkable, and this is good where we are seeing a cooperation where it is across all party lines to explore and look for the truth of what's really going on. And this is what we need, is more unity in this and focus on this aspect. And again, we've got Contact in the Desert coming up, where it's a great example of when people can get together and meet with the speakers and actually discuss this. We'll have long discussions with people who have their own personal experiences. They run the experiencer groups as well with J. Christopher King to explore people in a safe space who can share their own experiences with others. Often it's for the first time that they're sharing these personal experiences, but also discovering that many people are having the same experiences. And I want to come back here as well to another comment that I received by Tom the Man TV, who's a regular on this show. He sent me a message this last week about another childhood experience that he remembers when he woke up with a triangular mark on the back of his neck. He told his mother that he'd got this mark, and she felt his forehead and said, "You're burning up." I'm reading from his message here. Mm-hmm. "You're staying at home today, so go to your room." And he says, "This is where the tale gets weird, even for me. Throughout the entire day, I remember people who were dressed like doctors in lab coats, or even who looked like nurses, coming in and out of my bedroom, checking up on me constantly. One doctor even told me, 'Don't worry, Tommy, this is just a side effect of what happened to you during the night. You'll be well again soon.' And I'd never seen him before, but I really liked that doctor. Later on that night, my mum came to check in on me. She looked at the back of my neck and said, 'Well, whatever that marking was, it's gone now. The temperature has returned to normal too.' So he says, 'Mom, next time I get sick like that, could you call that doctor who visited me today? I liked him. He was really nice to me.' Mum looks a bit puzzled at me. 'What doctor?' 'I did not call any doctor for you today.' My mum replied, 'I never did see that doctor again.'" And this again is another puzzling aspect. We have this from Lorraine McAdam, who we featured on this program. She also had encounters in hospitals with doctors and nurses who, when she checked up later, there were no doctors and nurses on the ward who came to see her and administered whatever medical attention that they did. So these are right. Interactions that people are reporting with, again, to back up what we've reported on this program today.
And Ian, do you remember that program that we did about 3 or 4 years ago? Earth Files has been broadcasting on Wednesdays since 2017, the fall of 2017. So this was about 3 or 4 years ago, and I remember it so clearly because I have run into more than one military person with an almost identical story. And this was about the dentist, not military dentist, a normal dentist who finds that there are implants in the jaw or in the actual teeth that are very sophisticated, and the person who they find these in was in the military, remembers a time that he was requested to go to a dentist. And it means that in this case, there are strategies in terms of technology in people who are working intel and military, in probably interacting with non-humans and a variety of layers of intel. But we all need to realize that the tension from World War II to today around this whole issue of extraterrestrials, which ones, with which motives, and why can we not be told as a population on this planet, it is as big a story now, or bigger, I think, than it has ever been. And there's a anticipation and expectation, I feel it too, that the congressional hearings should lead to it all opening up. I wonder if you guys tonight at the Earth Files YouTube channel, do you feel that, or do you think something else is headed our way? I'm asking to the air, to Ian, to you.
Yeah, let's leave that open and people can address their comments. We've got Mr. MH here says, question for Linda. Have you ever had any experiences with men or women in black? We have to include women in black in this because of many occasions, such as even Terry Lovelace's interaction with his so-called Betty, who seems to be some sort of hybrid. Have you yourself, Linda, had any experiences with men or women in black?
For people who have been with the Earthfiles YouTube channel since 2017, they know that two or three times I have shared the story about being in Boston in 1974 and on a move, a family move with my daughter and my husband. And whether or not that had anything to do with it, it is the historical and memory marker of my life, because what happened was so dramatic, so penetrating. And I'll try to do a short form with deference to those of you who have heard this before, but it is really important for each of us who have had interactions with other beings, I think, to share. This was the night in a house in Needham, which is a suburb of Boston. It had, I would say, to the bottom of that radiator, Brad, would it be 10 feet, 12 feet up to there? The doors in this house that was historic were at least that high. So it was unusual in the first place that where this being emerged and what happened. It started with what so many of you have experienced and I have read in books and have people talk to me about at conferences, talk with people who have been in the Pentagon in Washington, and that is you become conscious in bed, usually, meaning you've gone to bed and you've been asleep, and that had happened. And I wake up and I realize within seconds I cannot move. I can't move anything. I see the back of the sheet, and I know that my husband is asleep. I know Laura is in the room right across the way, and I cannot move. I cannot talk. But at that point in 1974, I was not into any of the material about UFOs, ETs, animal mutilations, abductions, and all of it. It didn't exist. That did not come into my life until September of 1979, 5 years later. So I am like many of you, I have no idea what's happening. And when you can't move, but your eyes can open, your brain is functioning enough to start going into panic, you can't move. And this is the part I've never, I don't know anybody who has been able to explain the timing of how this all works out. Suddenly, because I remember that I was like this on the sheet, so I'm laid down on my stomach, and I remember my fingers. And I could look at my little finger, which was only 4 inches, and something telepath, that was a thought voice, concentrate on your little finger, just like that. I'm not kidding. Those were the words. Concentrate on your little finger and tell it to move. Tell it to move. Me tell my little finger to move. And I couldn't make my mouth work. I couldn't talk. But I started concentrating on my little finger. And by God, it quivered. It moved. And it was like somebody picked me up and rolled me up like this. I came from being flat down on the sheet to completely up, and there, coming through that big historical, bigger than normal doors, was a figure entirely in black. It had a hood that seemed to hang out like this, not here, here. And it was almost as big as the space of that the Needham Boston door. At that point, when I think back, I don't know if I was still paralyzed in muscle or I was so shocked, whatever it was, my normal energy, my normal self, I think, would have been to jump out of the bed and run toward it. Say, what do you want? Nothing like that happened. I couldn't move normally. And this huge hulk, slowly, not like stepping, but like floating, came right to the right end of the king-size bed. And at that moment, with this big hulk, came another thought voice. Say the Lord's Prayer over and over and do not stop. And I immediately, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I continued talking out loud. Bang! Now the ceiling was high, and filling the room at the end of the king-size bed was this whole cross that came up in all light. It was bright, scintillating, pure white, in the shape of this cross. And for reasons that I still don't fully understand, I never stopped saying the Lord's Prayer that I had been told to do. Even when I wanted to yell and run and grab the cross. And it is still there. The Hulk is still there. And then what I felt happened is that I just had no other place to anchor for salvation. In a strange way, that's what it was about, a fight for your life. But it was taking place in a dimension in frequencies I do not understand, and I've had so many people, after I have shared this story that happened to me in 1974, and they come and start sending me letters and emails and various communications about them having something so similar. And in my case, I have no idea how long it all went on. But it was very interesting that when it ended, this hulk that was so terrifying and the incredible cross that was so resurrecting and me on the bed, like the triangle, two forces against each other, and I am a humble human. There was another voice, male, like a voice, and it said something like, end, or ending, or something like that. And then whatever the Hulk was, it didn't turn around and walk out. It just faded out. And I am there and I am drenched. I am literally drenched. My nightgown is wet. The sheet is wet from, I guess, the perspiration of dealing with trying to keep saying the Lord's Prayer and the stress and what is this? And I felt like I was fighting for my very existence at a deeper level than this. It felt like I was fighting for my very soul. So when this faded out, it was like a breath of spring air came right there. It was October. it was not at all spring-like. It was a cold October night. But when this thing phased out, it was just like spring with sunshine and warmth. It came in, and I felt it swirl around me, and I was joyous inside. And this same voice that had been punctuating throughout however long this went said, "You will never have to fight for your soul again." Whether it is one-on-one, being to being, nations to nations, planets to planets, dimensions to dimensions, universes to universes, I am convinced that what happened to me in that Boston room with something dark goes on throughout all of it, everywhere in the complexity. But that always being able to vanquish is the light. You are one with the light. The light is one with you, and you are in the hands of God forever. Idaho, 1960. So these moments have woven their ways through my life. And there is something about the whole UFO ET conundrum. I think of that event in Boston often when I am listening to people who are talking about abductions or animal mutilations or encountering a live being or something in the night when they wake up. Out of it all today, as we are in 2025 and we are all worried about what may happen between 2025 to 2030, because there have been remote viewers and others who have predicted that we might have some global catastrophe. Just remember, think in your own mind, find a link that you have to the being of light, the cross of light, and never give up. So that is the story that I've told before, that Ian, you were referencing from the communication.
Yeah, I guess so. And again, it shows, and I've found this in my research as well, that often people can call upon a prayer or something like this to stop an abduction event taking place, yeah, or some other kind of takeover or transfer or some other bad intent from taking place. This also backs up with what we found about the men in black, the so-called men in black or women in black, who call on witnesses, etc., often with these threats. The threats are hollow and don't mean anything. So, you know, you can always face them down. So almost as though we have some domain over this realm, and it has to go with some sort of interaction and agreement with us. But if we oppose it, then I think that we can face them down. I want to go back to our mentioning about the medical stories. We've got Chris George Alexander in the chat this evening says, "I love these stories. Encountering military officers and medical personnel as a toddler was one of the many interesting aspects of the experience, especially having a dad and uncles in the military." So we've got the military connection there. Chris George Alexander, would love to speak to you more. Please contact us and share more information with us, and we can
put that phone number in an email so I can dial you.
That's right. And you mentioned about the implants. May 777, Abel says, before I was to get a tooth implant in my mouth, there seemed to be something near the sinuses which could not be identified in the x-ray. How many times have we heard that story about the implants and people finding that there's something on the x-ray? Even, I think, this last week, Yuri Geller has published a picture that shows some anomalous object in his brain that's shown up in some sort of scan. So this is something else we're familiar with. And you mentioned about the story that we ran on Earth Files, and let's just remind everybody that there's almost 400 Earth Files videos up on our website at the moment on our YouTube channel. And we ask people to like and subscribe. And also this episode and all episodes of Earth Files go out as a podcast. So please get it wherever you get your podcast and listen to us on the go as well.
And know we're always trying to share with you truth and light.
Absolutely. We've got another question. Yo Holmes says, so these aliens working with US military, perhaps helping to develop the AI systems that will soon take over planet Earth. This seems to be a recurring theme. And I suppose it, in a way, it echoes the theme of, let's say, Terminator and the sort of science fiction themes and memes that have been going on about the sudden rise of AI and whether or not it's some liaison as well with extraterrestrials. What do you think, Linda?
Going all the way back to the beginning of Star Trek, I ended up, after doing a strange harvest on the animal mutilations and trying to do veterinarian medicine and a lot of investigations that would be evidentiary, I had a Hollywood producer who called me to talk about animal mutilations, real photographs, real veterinarian reports, because they were interested in, it wasn't just for Star Trek, it was various things that were boiling over in Los Angeles at the time in those subjects. But in that discussion with a man who had been talking with a lot of people, both on the intel side, intelligence, as well as affected ranchers and abductees, and there was a potpourri of line items that they had that they were thinking about for the Star Trek show. One of the things in that discussion, he said, we know that we are dealing with extraterrestrial biological entities, and we know that they harvest from animals. That's why I'm talking to you. And the unanswered, even though we were talking about this question, this final question with each other, why doesn't the government open all of this up? And the answer is still echoing over decades. And it's becoming, to me, a fascinating issue. What works better on a planet of 8 billion people, of which a certain percentage at least have souls, when you have an entire global policy of lying about other life in the universe? What ultimately does that do to that population and to that planet? And that's what that producer and I ended up talking about. And it was only about whenever Star Trek went on the air, it became an example in another discussion about saying that Star Trek is telling the truth. We know that beings move up and down in beams of energy. We know that they can jump dimensions, and that Star Trek was a safe way to get out into the world. Technologies, issues, extraterrestrials working together in a way that would never feel threatening. I hope that this year of 2025, that they keep doing the congressional hearings and that we're working our way up to opening the truth. Because going further in time without everybody knowing the whole truth, I think has dangerous consequences. Just like people say it's dangerous consequences if the truth is told. I think we have to opt inside of ourselves for that which we can live with and say that it's right. And that means we need to be told the truth. Okay, Ian, how about one or two more from the chat?
Yeah, okay. Well, we're looking back to the chat for any more interesting experiences to share with us. May 777-ABLE says, who also mentioned about having this strange object that was identified in the X-ray. We'd like to hear a follow-up from you on that, about what actually happened after that. Says the first experience happened in 1977, had a close encounter of the first kind. I thought at the time they were time travellers. It's interesting as well, Lily, you've mentioned again the animal mutilations. At the moment, there's been reports in Montana of some mutilations, although this is clouded by the fact that there are some reports that the dead cattle are showing gunshot wounds. But whether or not this is, again, where we've got holes in the body that are automatically assumed to be bullet holes, or whether or not there has actually been a cartridge or, let's say, any cartridges or any bullets or remnants of a firearm being found inside the wound. So that clouds.
That would be, Ian, that would be an easy way for the government to cover up everything. They know that ETs are doing it, and so you just shoot with one bullet in a gun and out goes the story.
Yeah, because the other aspects of the story, such as the tongue being removed, and I believe the precision cuts would seem to indicate this was what we'd call a classic mutilation story.
But it's way more than just precision. It is the high heat in a tiny point source that all the way back in the 50s and the 60s, the veterinarians that I have interviewed and ranchers, those that did necropsies, they found organs missing inside of bodies in which there were no excisions on the outside and said that's impossible. And that when they were excisions, let's say the removal of a whole udder, and it was only a quarter of an inch deep and the skin was untouched and there was no bleeding. And then when they looked under a microscope at the excisions, Dr. Altshuler did this with me on dozens and dozens of cases. And we always found the same thing, of tiny, hot point of light, like a laser, but there were no lasers, 50s, 60s, 70s. There were no lasers being used out in pastures or wherever these animals were found. But the evidentiary material was irrefutable. In the excisions that were done by multiple veterinarians, which I write about in my book, An Alien Harvest and Glimpses of Other Realities, Volume 1 and 2, they found that the collagen and the hemoglobin were both cooked at those excision sites. That was being discovered back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And there was no instrument to even match that then. So go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I'm losing my connection again, but we'll keep going as long as we can with this.
Come on, grapefruit.
Okay. The other thing is, you mentioned about other species as well. I think Katie Page is going to be talking about Snippy the horse, so-called right. Lady the horse from Colorado,
right.
Yaparusama, in 1967, I believe it was, at contact in the desert. But there were also reports that I'm looking into of sheep in Wales during 2024, which again may fall into the mutilation category. I'm trying to get more information on that as well. And if anyone has any information on any mutilations, please let us know. Please contact us at Earth Files.
With phone numbers.
With phone numbers. Yes. Okay. All right, Linda, just back to you on things. I'm just looking to see if there's any more questions or anything else that come forward. It's interesting as well about the artificial intelligence. A lot of ETs that we deal with may not actually be sentient beings, but may actually be artificial intelligence or the remains of a long dead perhaps civilization with biological androids or clones being sent out to us to create some sort of mission or repopulate the galaxy. What do you think?
I think that every one of us should say that our goal is to understand what the truth is. What the truth is always, and never give up on trying to tell the truth. And once you are dealing with the truth, then the implications for the future, I think, often change. And we're living on a planet that is like scrambled eggs. And out of scrambled eggs, we're going to get scrambled evolution. So I hope that we're going to start learning more and more through the congressional hearing. May that all go well in Washington between now and into the, call it the summertime, I hope. And that will being introduced to real other beings on Earth as a reality, not a speculation, would it help the evolution of humanity? I guess that's the question that's kind of weighing there. Well, I, for one, say to you all again, with love of fellow beings, I am one with the light. The light is one with me, and I'm in the hands of God forever. However that feels inside of you, I hope you will continue to share it from here going forward, thinking about that this is not just about confirming that other life is in the universe. It is confirming that we are one heck of a species and that we deserve to be fought for in truth and light. I feel that to the pit of my soul. So, big agape hug to everyone, everywhere, every country, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.